more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. Marquette University's Hagerty Museum of Art is host to a major exhibit of photography that makes us look at and question what it means to be a consumer. For 10 years, American photographer Brian Ulrich traveled around the United States to document Americans shopping. The exhibit is focused on three chapters: retail stores, thrift shops, and dark or closed stores. Ulrich is based in Virginia now, but started the project as a graduate student at Columbia College in Chicago in 2001. He tells Lake Effect's Bonnie North what started him on this path.
It was a number of things, but most of all, I started graduate school in Chicago at Columbia College in 2001, and our first day of graduate school was September 11th. And that whole event, of course, had such an impact on us, the culture, the world. You know, there's kind of before and after as a result. But it had this really big impact on me as a person, as an artist. And I had previously been doing kind of autobiographical work. And I realized right then and there that I kind of really wanted to explore the culture and the world and look at this moment and look at how people were dealing with it. You know, there was this amazing kind of grieving process that was happening where people, the whole kind of societal norms and cultural rules were broken down, and people were really kind of comforting each other. And it was mostly because, you know, this is what happened when tragedy happens. But here it happened to the whole culture and the whole country. And so people were pulling together in these amazing and beautiful ways. And I was really just in the beginning trying to photograph that, ironically enough. I was trying to make pictures of that happening kind of naturally. So I started making photographs out on the street and in public places where, you know, those kind of moments or those kind of relationships between peoples might come together. And when I started to figure out ways to do that or some strategies to do that, all of a sudden the kind of messaging that was happening or the conversation about this post kind of 9/11 grieving changed pretty radically, and it started changing into this messaging about kind of fear, you know, about like this can happen again. We're all of a sudden extremely unsafe. We should be worried. We have to do things to prepare. And one of these ways in which people talked about preparing was to, you know, and originally it was Giuliani, and later it was Dick Cheney and President Bush and a number of other politicians who came out and basically started asking citizens to go out and shop. And of course, they were really worried about the economic hit that was going to happen to the country, but also this idea of kind of back to normal. I thought that was very, very kind of weird and interesting and powerful and complex and problematic. And
do you remember how quickly that happened, that changed from that sort of communal grieving to go out and buy?
It happened pretty quickly. Those first kind of sentiments started coming, the kind of like worry stuff, was really kind of October. That kind of idea of economics, right, that was also really soon after, where Giuliani was kind of saying, like, you know, we need to go about our regular lives. And in that context, of course, it made a lot of sense. But that kind of meme or idea was picked up on and continued up into 2002, when people were kind of talking about this idea and like economically what we needed to do and how we needed to reinforce ourselves. And, you know, I just thought that was really interesting in the history of wars and the history of our country and the history of people and man, where this idea of money being all of a sudden the kind of protecting thing and the thing that is so connected to what will make it okay. I really just initially wanted to see if people were doing that. Like, would people follow this directive to go out and kind of patriotic shop? Was shopping now like patriotic? Was it like Cheerios were like red, white, and blue? And I answered that question pretty quickly, which was, yeah, people were. People did go out. And there was this kind of idea that, you know, this was a way in which people felt like they could, of course, participate and contribute and be a part of supporting our country, which is, of course, a very important thing. But within that, within trying to make some pictures of that, it again dawned on me that what I was starting to look at was something that was much, much bigger, that was really only could happen now, really was the dawn of the 21st century and was ideas that had been set in motion decades earlier. And it was kind of a daunting feeling, but it was also a very exciting thing, which was I had to kind of get to work and figure out a way to do this. So initially that idea manifested itself in really looking at middle class experience of this and middle class relationship to consumerism. And that is in this kind of chapter of this larger Copia project, and it's called Retail, pretty simply.
There are three parts to this. The first one is retail, then you have thrift, and then you have the dark store, sort of the very end of consumerism before it kind of gets recycled into something else. Did you start out with those in mind, or did those evolve as you progressed in the initial photographs?
You know, what was really, what was, in, again, at times daunting and in other ways many very liberating, was the idea that I wasn't necessarily in a hurry to do this project, that it didn't have a deadline, that it didn't have to have a completion date. Really, it was about trying to figure out ways to make the next picture. And with that came a lot of research, too. And those two things working tandem started to take me to places that, of course, were kind of outside of what I had already thought or knew or expected. So I didn't really plan to do thrift. In fact, I remember bringing that idea up early on to some professors, and they were like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. That's just too, it's too much more work, you know? It's like a whole other amount of traveling and things that has to happen. But then in 2005, Hurricane Katrina happened, and all of a sudden it really seemed like a very, again, a very succinct moment where the broadcast of such a large problem in this country, which is poverty and race, was broadcast on primetime TV, like 24-hour news, like over and over and over. And I started thinking about, like, well, wouldn't thrift then be the great way to talk about that? And again, not necessarily in the kind of obvious way of we buy and make too many things, but all the other parts, which are based around the tradition of these kind of resale shops and thrift stores being community organizations that are there in service to the community. And of course, in more recent times, poor people or people, you know, who economically have to, you know, shop in those places. So that became a whole other investigation, and it also asked me to make pictures in different ways than I had before.
And you're talking about the actual taking of the photographs in that sense? Okay. We'll talk about that in a minute. I want to get to dark.
Yeah. The full title of that project is actually called Dark Stores, Ghost Boxes, and Dead Malls. And those terms are taken from the actual retail, especially retail real estate and commercial real estate industry uses those terms to describe specific spaces. They mean very specific things. You know, a dark store can be a store that's kind of laid dormant, but is maybe closed, but may come back. It's in this kind of like limbo place. A ghost box is like a store in which it's not coming back. And it's kind of the ghost of its former thing. And, the, you know, and how amazing that these terms were invented. And, of course, the dead mall represents, you know, the mall which is either failing or gone, and what to do with those things. So in 2005, I actually thought that would be the next project. But it was really came out of, I lived in Chicago at the time, and I used to drive past this large closed grocery store at night. And when I was driving past it at night, it looked specifically like a kind of a Rothko painting. You know, I mean, there was the kind of gorgeous Chicago light pollution that is always happening where you can never see the night sky and it's always some color. You know, this kind of hulking square rectangle box that had been kind of painted and plywood covered on the front. And then the glimmering kind of night sky on the parking lot, that was, and it was really divided into these three distinct forms, which, so I kind of thought, well, I have to try and see if it's possible to make a photograph that did what I think I'm seeing. So I went out one night and made a few pictures like that, and, you know, they were kind of almost there, but I immediately had this hard problem, which was like, how am I going to find more of those spaces, you know? How do you find all that stuff? And it was quite difficult because they weren't as predominant at the time. But I also remember writing early on that, like, that idea that this kind of model of always growth was really problematic, that for kind of retail business to always succeed, it had to always grow. And of course, there would be an inevitable conclusion to that, which would be that it would eventually have to recede, even in the idea that, like, nobody seemed to have seen that coming. It seemed so obvious to me. So when 2007, late 2007 and early 2008, the dialogue started happening around that, it seemed really obvious, and that seemed like the time to do that project, and it was. And I kind of made some pictures in earnest in May of 2008, and it was that, you know, those kind of moments where you know exactly what you need to do.
I find looking at the ones of the dark stores, you know, the ghost stores, it's very sad to see a building that was a house. Mm-hmm. That people no longer live in, that's abandoned. There's something very, very sort of aching and sad, right, about that. There's a different feeling about the box stores because nobody ever lived in them, but there was a certain kind of life, mm-hmm, that was there that is no more. And I don't know exactly what that feeling is. It's not, you're not mourning a family, Louise, but something's missing.
Yeah, I think the you know, I really specifically, again, even in the initial research, I came across those terms. Those terms were so kind of drippingly romantic that I thought it was really important to try to make the pictures as, like, drippingly romantic. Because they're very dumb spaces, in a sense. You know, we drive past them all the time. They're around us. They're outside the car window. And they're meant not to be looked at, which, of course, I find really interesting to make them this kind of specific subject of the photograph. So I would do all these things. That's why most of them were made at night. I would make these really long exposures, painting with flashlights. I got a police light that attached to the cigarette lighter on the car that reached really far, and I could kind of, like, expose the image over time. But I wanted that to do that because, again, the trick was to, how do you get people to pay attention to this thing which is in our periphery? How do you get people to think about this subject which is big, which is encompassing, and which is representative of so much? I've had shows of that work and some of this work in Europe a few times, in Germany, and it's amazing how foreign the whole idea of much of this is. You know, like, they don't, I mean, I spent about half an hour trying to explain to a group of Germans what mall walking was, which was quite a hilarious and confusing and gratifying moment all at the same time. But the idea that there would be this much expansion and growth and building and investment and all this, and that it would be kind of left to literally kind of disintegrate back into the earth, was just so wild when you think about it.
Now, to just sort of sum up for you as the artist and the person doing all of this examination, mm-hmm, and exploration, have you changed your ideas about what material things mean, what consumerism means? Has it shifted over the last 10 years, or are you finding that the work you're doing is sort of reinforcing what you already suspected was there?
No, I think the one of the great things about, you know, it's in a sense, you know, it's, of course, it's not easy to be an artist, and it, of course, at times looks a lot more glamorous than it really is. But it is a real luxury to be able to work out an idea, a very kind of abstract thing that at times as it's kind of being put together brick by brick is hard to kind of even fathom, especially for other people. But the great part of that is that it teaches you, you know, and it the project kind of leads you in all these interesting directions. So I can't ever be the same person after talking to some of the security guards whose jobs are basically inevitably over, who are guarding the dead mall in the parking lot at 2 a.m., or the cops who would come by to ask me what the hell I was doing. I can see how afraid they are to do their job. You can see the fear in them, and they're like, what are you doing? You realize where you are, you know? And so it's profound. I mean, you come into contact with so much of the way that people are living their lives that, of course, it asks me to live differently. It asks me to redefine ideas of success. It asks me to redefine ideas of what I certainly need or want.
Do you find yourself less attached to things?
Yeah, in many respects. Like, so much of the kind of things, quote-unquote, that I have are built around making the work, you know? And that's work. And sometimes I would love to have it all gone because it's responsibility. You know, if I move, I have to move all this stuff. Even all the things that I collected, they're kind of can be a thorn in my side. But, you know, the other thing that's happened too is that I've also come to understand something else, which is there is something to an object and there is something to craft, right? I mean, I'm an artist. I believe in craft. I work really, really hard to make photographs that function beautifully and as objects. And what that teaches me is that there is something really profound in that. There is something really profound in things that were made by hands and touched and so on. What that can mean and what it had meant earlier in our history and what it means now, and how some of that may have been lost and how some of it can be gained back. I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, things, websites like Etsy are really, really popular, and how people want unique crafted items that come almost directly or directly from the person who made the thing. That's a really, really powerful thing.
Well, Brian Ulrich, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with me. I really appreciate it. Best of luck with the exhibition.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
The exhibit, Brian Ulrich, Copia, Retail, Thrift, and Dark Stores, 2001 to 2011, is on display at the Hagerty Museum of Art through mid-May. Ulrich spoke with Bonnie North. The project is ongoing, and at wuwm.com/lakeeffect, Ulrich talks about where his work might go next. One last break, and then an essayist revels in the silence of a spiritual retreat. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.